The Family. Commentary for the October 10, 2020 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119:103. In 1975, I had the privilege of enrolling at Walla Walla College to study for the pastoral ministry. I had little idea what all was involved, but soon found myself one of a couple of dozen new faces in freshman Greek. I was so naive about what preparing for the ministry meant that I had no idea that Greek was a requirement. Many a beginning theology major faced that course with trepidation and viewed the teacher to be like Gandalf facing the Balrog at the bridge of Khazad Dûm, declaring, "You shall not pass." Indeed, several did exit the theology program, unable to wrangle the mysteries of Greek. However, this was not for lack of effort on the part of the teacher. Lucille Knapp was a warm and loving instructor who taught us many useful techniques that proved helpful for those, like me, who went further with biblical languages than the minimum required for a theology degree. For instance, she taught us that learning vocabulary could be hastened by using muscle memory. This meant writing the words as well as reading and saying them. This is like the musician who does not need to think consciously about where to place their fingers next in performing a piece, as the fingers seem to already know where to go, and thinking about it would actually trip up the performance. Whenever I sit at the piano and feel this happening, I feel like the psalmist who wrote, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Psalm 139:14. When I learned about this from Professor Knapp, it was like discovering a special feature in an automobile you owned for years but had never used. Another statement of Miss Knapp's that has remained with me all these decades later was an illustration she shared. She told us that as babies, Hebrew children were brought to the synagogue where the rabbi would place their finger on a passage of scripture that had honey on it, and then place the child's finger to their mouth to teach them from the very beginning of life that the word of God is sweet. We are told that Saul's son Jonathan, when exhausted during a battle, ate some honey and his eyes brightened with renewed energy. Similarly, passages from the Bible have refreshed me with renewed hope and resolve when faced with challenges that sometimes never seem to abate. Many others have shared with me that they have felt the same. But for some reason, despite that, we often choose to forego that refreshing. Occupied with the challenge that besets us, we feel we cannot disengage from the battle to seek that relief, or all will be lost. When we do this, we may find our defenses collapsing around us as the structures we created to fend off the onslaught collapse under the weight of the stress and the fragility of our construct. When that happens, we may find ourselves in the pit of despair, trying to desperately reconstruct our lives out of the broken pieces left to us. But even if we succeed to cobble together some rickety framework to try again, we will find that there is always a challenge that will be stronger than our defenses. While we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we were never created to face the world alone. The Bible tells us we were made in the divine image. God's intent was not for us to grovel in the dirt at his feet. It was to have fellowship with him, where we could walk side by side, facing the world and the future together. God eagerly looked for that relationship. Sadly, it was not God but man that chose to leave the relationship because of guilt and shame after betraying God. The Old Testament of our Bibles is a written record of the history of that betrayal, as well as a record of individuals who, over the centuries, looked for ways to restore what had been lost. For many of us, something within our hearts yearns for that. Perhaps that is why we still thrill over stories like Star Wars. Something within our being feels called to something greater than what we are. Without the relationship we were created for, we can feel like a puzzle with an important piece missing. Knowing that we need something more and not finding it or understanding what it is can bring us to despair. But the experiences and insights found in the Bible can guide us, like a roadmap, to find what is missing. For many, the Bible is the last place they care to look for answers. Instead, they try to self-medicate their darker feelings away with alcohol, drugs, sex, hobbies, anything that will momentarily distract them from the pain they feel deep inside. But there's only one real answer that can last. We need to fill the hole in our hearts with the relationship that was intended to be there. Filling it with anything else is tantamount to putting diesel into a gasoline engine. It not only will not work, but it will also leave a bigger problem in its wake. We really need heart surgery. I play guitar, and one aspect of playing guitar is that when we begin to learn to play one, it hurts our fingers terribly. But as we continue to practice, we form hard calluses on our fingertips. This protects our fingers from the pain caused by pressing on the strings. The hardness of our fingertips then allows us to play longer, although never endlessly. Even with calluses, pain can eventually return if we play long enough. Our hearts can become like my fingers. As the world gives us pain, our hearts can harden also. Most of us know what is meant when we say someone has a stony heart. They have been exposed to so much pain for so long that their heart has become like a rock. They may feel this makes them impervious to pain, like the calluses with the guitar strings, but it can also make them impervious to joy, peace, and perhaps most important of all, love. Love is what the relationship we were created for is all about. God wanted someone to love, someone capable of loving him back. While he weeps over what has been lost and the hardship it has cost us, we struggle with loss as well. God has given us another gift to help guide us back into relationship with him. He has given us the ability to be in familial relationships with one another. Those family relationships can teach us much about what it takes to be in a relationship. They can help guide us to restoration of what was lost. Adam and Eve apparently taught their sons to seek God, for both approached God with sacrifices. But apparently something was lost in translation. Abel chose to give what God requested as a sacrifice, while Cain felt God should be happy with whatever he chose to bring. We see this in relationships today. In healthy relationships, people listen to what the other is saying and respond appropriately. In unhealthy ones, they are more concerned about advancing their agenda than engaging appropriately. This has been the source of much sadness and conflict in the world. But that was not the plan from the beginning. Some have desired a restored relationship so strongly that God responded and spoke with them, appeared to them in dreams, and sent angels to meet with them. Their hearts were open. But today many have hearts that have been too hardened by the difficulties of life. While the answer of getting rid of those stony hearts seems obvious, we do not have the specialized tools to do it ourselves. Like with a fine-tuned and computerized automobile that we need to take to a service department under the manufacturer's control, we need to come to our Creator to deal with a heart problem. He promises to fix it. He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." We need to diligently seek him. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When we do that, we will discover that God has always been closer than we thought, as Paul pointed out in Athens. While God created us to be in relationship with him, to be a part of his family, he does not compel us to be. Like Cain, we can choose to go our own way. God is willing to continue to bless us, even if we reject him. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, Matthew 5:45b. But what we miss from that relationship will far outweigh any advantage we may feel independence gives us. And the stony lump in our breast that weighs us down with despair will continue to be our normal. We were created for better than that. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may find the footnote references with the verses referred to at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com, along with additional commentaries. May God bless you and your family.